Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 225. Mayberry, why do we love it? Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by over at Weaver's. They got amazing things related to the Andy Griffith Show. Calendars, CDs, DVDs, ties, all kinds of stuff. Drop by weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 225 is Kenneth Junkin, our very own Otis. Thank you, Kenneth. There we go. And I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. It is wonderful to have you with me here in Mayberry. Oh, it's great. It's always great to get back here and visit with folks and just have a good, great Mayberry time. And I hope we're going to do that tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this. We have got something a little bit special. Now, this was something that came up over on Facebook, actually. It was posted on Facebook, and a fellow named Jimmy Phillips posted, "Mayberry, why do we love it?" It was just he wrote down the reasons, and I read that. And I immediately asked him, hey, can I use that on the podcast? And he said, sure, yes, you can. And I want to thank him right now for that. Because what you're about to hear is the words that Jimmy wrote when he was just talking about why do we love Mayberry. And I think he said it amazingly well. And so I hope you're going to enjoy hearing this. And I want to thank Jimmy one more time for letting us do that. So let's get some nice music to put us in the right mood. Why do we love Mayberry? So here's Jimmy's story. Mayberry, why do we love it? For me, it's because of the people. They were all friends and treated each other with so much respect. You'd have thought they were all kin to one another. Always looking out for each other. Never crossed their minds ever to do harm to somebody, even with words. They were a class act that had never been duplicated and probably never will be. When I think of Mayberry, I think of how a father teaches his young boy all the important lessons in life: honesty, integrity, loyalty, respect. Cage sure looks awful empty, don't it, Pa? Yes, son, it sure does. But don't the trees seem nice and full? I think of a gourmet chef that could cook anything and make your mouth water, except pickles, and those made your eyes water. I think of a gas station attendant who wanted to be a doctor and ended up in the Marine Corps because of what his daddy once told him. I think of his cousin who still reads comic books. Can't seem to ever find himself a girl, but he can take a car completely apart and reassemble it in the courthouse in just a couple of hours. I think of a deputy whose hilarious antics have won the hearts of the whole town and his best friend and cousin, who would always get him out of a jam and make him look good without ever letting anybody else know about it, even if it required climbing back into a cave. I think of all the beautiful mountain music played by the Darlings. Not that one, Pa. It makes me cry. And who could ever forget that little man who's just a little mean but made up for it by being real healthy? And if he had seen you coming, he'd have knowed what to do. He'd have rose both arms and he'd have wove at you. Well, you only saw him six times, but everybody knows he didn't like to be called a creature. And he never chooses cabbage twice. And you ain't heard the last of Ernest T. Bass. And then I think of Sheriff, who keeps everything in perspective with logic and plain old common sense. His loyalty and friendship to everyone is unparalleled, even to the town drunk, whom he instills a little pride in whenever he gets a chance. I do have a hobby, drinking. Then there's Rafe Hollister. Man, that cat can sing. And if he liked you, he'd bring you fresh-picked mess of green beans. And they all attended the All Souls Church on Sundays and spent the afternoon on the porch just being lazy. Unless it was to go downtown to the drugstore for a little bottle of pop. What's your hurry? Yeah. Those were the days. I guess most people, when they die, hope to move on to heaven. I don't believe I need any streets of gold, but I will take that new body if I get a chance. No, I believe when I die, if I was asked where I wanted to go, I'd say Mayberry. But then again, that is heaven. At least for some of us. I thought that said the words so well. And Jimmy, man, I thank you so much for letting me share that on the podcast. I think that, those are awesome words that I couldn't have said that any better. And there were so many comments on that thread there on the internet, on the Facebook, talking about that. It was just amazing. Now, Jimmy did also say, he said, I met Charlene, Maggie Peterson, a few years ago in Smithfield, North Carolina. And she just grabbed me and hugged me just like she had known me all my life. And after we got in the car, we realized that the pictures didn't turn out that well. So I went back in for another picture. And she said, you just came back in for another hug. And said, let me see that camera. I ended up with three hugs that night, and she was just a delightful lady. Jimmy, hey, thank you again so much for that. And I'll have links on the website if you'd like to go over and be a part of the community there on Facebook where that's located. It's called Mayberry After Midnight is the name of the group. And you can probably find it if you head over to Facebook and just do some searching. But it's called Mayberry After Midnight, and there's about 400 folks over there talking about the Andy Griffith Show all the time. So it's a good place to go and visit and just sit on the porch for a spell, which is what we enjoy doing. So, man, that was good stuff. So, all right, now we're going to go to some voicemail. Now, the voicemail have come in from several different folks, and I don't have all the answers to these questions, so I'm going to ask you that's listening to help me if I don't know it and send in your answers to these. Let's hear from Nancy first. She's from Alaska. Now let's hear what Nancy's got to say. And I think she's called in.
Hi.
There she is.
My name is Nancy, and I'm from Alaska. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you there, if anybody knows about why they always put the key, you know, in Andy's jail, right on the wall. I've always wondered why they always put it right there by where anybody can get the keys on the wall there, and why they didn't put them elsewhere, and they had always a hook on the thing. And I've been watching, you know, the DVDs that I've got of Andy's show and lately, and I've just been really enjoying them a lot. And I'm hoping to hear from you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, all the way from Alaska. You know, they made that dessert after it became a state up there. At least that's what Barney told me. Let's see, the jail cell. Why are the keys in between the doors? Now, my guess is going to be because Barney keeps locking himself in there. And so Andy just said, let's start keeping the keys right there where we can reach them when you lock us in. Now, you remember when they're on high alert, they put the keys in the drawer. That's rare. But when they're on high alert and there's actually a prisoner in there other than notice, they put them over in the drawer at the desk there. But yeah, that's a good question. I really don't have a good answer, but I would say it's because of all the times Barney locked himself in there. They just decided that was the best place for it because they got tired of calling for help from the folks out on the street. Nancy, thanks for calling in, and hopefully some intrepid listener of our show will be able to call in with the answer or write me at floyd@imayberry.com and give me the answer to this question. If you've got a better one, I just made it up. So you guys, if you have the answer, feel free to give me a call and let me know. Now we got another call, and I'm not sure who this is from because they didn't tell me their name, but they called in. So let's hear from them.
Hey, just listened to your George Lindsay, Ernst Borgnine broadcast. I download it every week through your website. But anyway, I wanted to say, don't ever feel bad. There's no apologies with anything related to people that were citizens of Mayberry. We want to know everything about all of them, including their families, their private lives. I mean, I don't mean into People Magazine kind of private life stuff, but I think anything related to George Lindsay, including or Ernest Borgnine's commentary about him as a friend, is fair game. And same with anybody else who was a citizen of Mayberry. So I don't consider that unrelated to Mayberry. Those people are Mayberry citizens and everything they did. And it was touching to hear about George Lindsay's involvement with all the special ed kids. My son, I have a special ed son, and so I didn't know that about him when he was alive. It was great to hear about him now that he's deceased. But thanks, Alan, for everything you do. Bye.
Well, thank you for calling in. Next time when y'all call in, make sure you tell me who you are so I can thank you using your name. But yeah, George was a very special person. He did a lot of work with Special Olympics, and everybody knew it here in the state of Alabama. It was publicized because he was raising money for the Alabama Special Olympics. But in general, I don't know that he tooted his own horn too much. And, you know, that's the same way with the George Lindsay Film Festival. He did a lot of work there going into its 16th year. And he gave back a lot. And so that's the kind of guy he was. Now, finally, we got a voicemail from Tim Bradshaw. Now, Tim has been going through all the episodes, past episodes of the podcast. He started episode 1, and he's going through them all. So if you'd like to go over to the podcast website at twochairsnowaiting.com, you can go and listen to the episodes. And if you scroll down, every episode up to wherever he is now, which is in the hundreds, has got a comment from him. Because he's been leaving nice comments, which has been fun for me. Because, you know, honestly, that was 4 years ago, some of those episodes, and I don't remember them. I think I've mentioned that on the podcast a couple of times. I've had to go back and listen to old episodes just to remember what he was talking about. So let's hear from Tim. So, all right, Tim, here you go.
Hi, Alan. This is Tim, Mr. McDevey. Just checking in with you. Just wanted to mention a couple of things. Been listening to these archives on the podcast, and I just can't really put in words how much I've enjoyed this. But not to rehash the old stuff, but you know, one person said on here that the videos and the DVDs were lacking bonus content and how the podcast filled in the gap on that. Well, I have to agree with that 100%. These podcasts are better than any bonus content that you could get on any DVD set. And just a reference to one of the podcasts that I listened to, they were talking about the mentioning of the bomb or the big bomb in one episode, and how that was one thing that the producers, I guess Andy and Sheldon Leonard, so forth, they didn't really want to time the show or attach it to any time, specific time span. And the bomb was evidently a term that was being used at the time of the Cold War.
Nice day, you know that?
Well, it seems a little warm to me.
Well, the weather's been changing so much lately. Must be the bomb.
Just an observation of that. I also noticed, even before I had brought into this idea of the bomb, was the calendars. If you notice on all the shows, especially around the courthouse or any of the offices, there's calendars everywhere. They're in the jail cell. They're on the wall of the courthouse. They're in Howard's office. And one thing that you'll notice is you very seldom will ever be able to see the year on the calendar. So this is just, I guess, another precaution that they took to keep from dating the show to a specific time period. But anyway, that's just one of my observations. Keep up the great work. I've been enjoying the podcast and really some great stuff there. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Tim. Hey, thank you for the kind words about the shows. And he's right. The calendars, if you look back at the different episodes, you can never see the actual year on the calendars. I've looked and tried to zoom in and all kinds of things to see those years, and you just can't see them. They mark through them. A lot of times they even make it hard to figure out what month it was because they're trying to make those episodes not be tied to a particular year. And we've talked about this before, that the Andy Griffith Show was, while it was set in the 60s, it had a feel of the 40s or early 50s. It didn't have the atmosphere of the town of Mayberry. It was much more of a 40s or 50s town, because that would have been when Andy was growing up, right? So that's kind of why. All right. Well, folks, I hope you have enjoyed this episode of the podcast. I again want to thank Jimmy Phillips. Wow, great words that he wrote of why do we love Mayberry. And what I would like to hear is you guys tell me, why do we love Mayberry? Why? Why is it that we love it so much? You know, that would be an awesome way for us to kind of give back to others. So we'll tell why you love it. So give me a call at 888-684-8415 or drop me an email at floyd@imayberry.com, or just head over to twochairsnowaiting.com and leave a message in the show notes. Just leave a comment down there and I'll see them, and we'll use them on a future podcast if I can. And until then, folks, I hope you guys had a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you next time on Two Chairs No Waiting. Good night, everybody.